a rare visitor to India.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Only one Chinese president has ever set foot in neighboring India. That was a decade ago. But today, China's Hu Jintao arrives in New Delhi for a four-day visit. Miranda Kennedy gives us some economic background.
China and India may be two of the world's fastest-growing economies, but until recently they've had a pretty bad relationship. They fought a border war back in 1962 they still haven't recovered from. But this year, trade between the giants is expected to hit $20 billion, fueled by China's huge appetite for India's raw materials and India's eagerness to buy cheap Chinese goods. T.S. Vishwanath has tracked the change for India's industry lobby group.
Because we are neighbors, and there is this huge market in both countries put together. And with both countries wanting to globalize and looking for markets outside their borders, this trade is bound to grow.
This week, China and India hope to sign agreements on things like investment protection, defense, and overseas oil exploration. But that doesn't mean the rivalry has ended. Both countries complain about a lack of transparency in trade, and despite China's cajoling, India refuses to recognize it as a free market economy. In New Delhi, I'm Miranda Kennedy for Marketplace.
Some big-time M&A activity this morning. Blackstone Group is buying Equity Office Properties Trust for about $20 billion. It's the largest private equity deal in history and a record real estate acquisition. Then there's the biggest mining merger ever. Freeport-McMoRan Copper is buying rival Phelps Dodge. The $26 million deal or billion-dollar deal creates the world's largest copper company. And not done yet. The Nasdaq stock market has bid for the 75% of the London Stock Exchange it doesn't already own. This is the Nasdaq's second try this year at buying the London Exchange. The latest forecast from the National Association of Business Economics comes out today. Here's the gist. The housing market may be collapsing, but it probably won't take the whole economy down with it. More now from John Dimsdale.
Housing's decline will bottom out by next summer. Inflation will slow down and oil prices will drop, and the economy will grow a relatively healthy 2.5% to 3% in 2007. That's this morning's forecast from a panel of 50 business economists. One of them, John Silvia with Wachovia Bank, figures cheaper gasoline will be good news for December's holiday shopping.
It appears as if the decline in oil prices over the last month or two has been accompanied by a rise in consumer confidence.
The silver lining in the housing slowdown is that the slower economy will bring inflation under control. So Silvia expects the Federal Reserve Board will hold steady on short-term interest rates for a while. The consensus of the panel of business economists is that interest rates will begin to come down in the second half of 2007. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Thanksgiving week is usually one of the slowest of the year on Wall Street. The Dow starts today at 12,342, its highest mark ever. The Nasdaq begins at 2445 after losing 3 points on Friday. The S&P 500 is at 1401. It gained a point. This is Marketplace. Tomorrow, the Pulitzer Prize-winning novelist Thomas Pynchon comes out with his first book in 9 years. Pynchon is famously media shy. Lisa Napoli has more.
You might think it's hard to promote a book whose author refuses to do any sort of publicity whatsoever. Tracy Locke of the Penguin Press says when it comes to the elusive Thomas Pynchon, the mysteriousness works.
There is no challenge whatsoever in trying to promote Pynchon. This book will be everywhere.
Locke says she's seeing advanced sales for Pynchon usually reserved for commercial bestsellers. Literary agent Ted Weinstein says buzz and bucks are unusual for literary fiction.
In book publishing, the rule is that you need an author to be their own publicity and promotions machine.
Pynchon's last novel, Mason and Dixon, sold out its first run of 175,000 copies in just 6 weeks. I'm Lisa Napoli for Marketplace.
The Morning Report comes to you from American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, supporting the National Urban Fellows, preparing people of all ethnic and racial backgrounds for leadership for more than 36 years at NUF.org. And by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
Delta Airlines is telling its creditors, don't believe the hype from U.S. Airways. Delta says its post-bankruptcy plan is far superior to U.S. Airways' $8.7 billion offer to buy the company. Newsweek's Alan Sloan calls the bid an old football play, the end run.
That's because the guys at U.S. Air, who clearly want to buy Delta, have decided that they can't make a deal with Delta's management or Delta's board of directors. So because Delta is in bankruptcy, U.S. Air has gone to the creditors who really own the company and are saying, let's make a deal, so they've end run the management and board of directors of Delta. It may not work, but it sure is fun to watch.
Well, it certainly shows that U.S. Airways is very keen on this deal. But the question is, why?
Because they think they can make money from it. And these two airlines compete in a lot of routes, and if there's less competition, in theory, you can raise fares. There are supposedly cost efficiencies. You wipe out most of one headquarters, so the two live for the price of one. Why not do it? And they're not actually buying an airline, okay? If this works, they're buying the assets of an airline, and the liabilities of Delta, or at least most of them, get left behind in bankruptcy court.
Well, so far, Delta has been pretty resistant to this. Why isn't Delta interested?
Well, I can't read their minds, but I think that their answer would be, it's not as if U.S. Airways is some paragon of efficiency or brilliance. And second, I'm guessing the guys who run the place think they can run it better and would like to keep their jobs rather than having U.S. Airways get it.
Well, airline mergers have traditionally not done so well. Is there anything different here that might buck that trend?
You know, you've got an industry that's troubled. You've got an industry that's consolidating. It's if you can get through the paperwork and the legal mumbo-jumbo, it's probably safer to buy something out of bankruptcy than to buy it as what they call a going concern, because you don't get stuck with liabilities that you didn't know about, which can happen if you buy a company that's a going concern.
So as passengers, what should we think about this if it goes through?
I think we should hope that it doesn't go through, just on general principles, because bigger airlines trying to combine separate parts is not really good for service, and having fewer competitors is very good if you're charging the fares, but it's not so good if you're paying them.
All right, Alan, thanks a lot.
Anytime. Happy flying, Scott.
Alan Sloan is the Wall Street editor for Newsweek magazine. Share your thoughts with us at our website, marketplace.org. And while you're there, check out our new podcasting feature. We're podcasting all of the Marketplace programs now. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in, and enjoy your Monday.
American Public Media.
Business.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.